You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent in Birmingham, Alabama, a church with a heart for the gospel. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
Give to us now, dear God, we ask, the glory of the light of your gospel, for what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ, the Savior. Amen. Early last week, I had the sense that the Lord might be nudging me to reach out to a friend to share some challenging thoughts I was having about a decision I knew they were about to make. And to be sure, such unsolicited opinion sharing isn't always well received. So I was genuinely encouraged by how receptive they really were to what I had to say. Then later in the week, a colleague shared some challenging feedback with me, with something I've spent a fair amount of time working on. And given my human insecurities, I'm not always so eager to receive such constructive criticism. But the sincerity with which it was being offered, and honestly, just by the grace of God, I had ears in that moment to hear, and I'm so grateful that I did. Talking about in the spiritual life, having ears to hear and eyes to see, because we experience life through our senses, don't we? And it's therefore been one of the most consistent prayers of my heart to have eyes to see and ears to hear, because I really don't want to miss out on what the Lord is doing. And it is with the first part of that prayer, having eyes to see, that we turn to our lessons for today, beginning with our rather lengthy gospel lesson, which is full of characters. The two central characters, of course, are Jesus and the blind man. From verse 1, as he passed by, Jesus saw a man blind from birth. Next, there are Jesus' disciples who ask about the man's handicap, whether or not it was punishment for his sins or the sins of his parents. We'll come back to that in just a minute. Then there are the neighbors who are divided as to whether or not a bona fide miracle has even taken place. So they take the man to the religious leaders, the Pharisees, who are also divided as to what had happened. So they call in the man's parents, who do in fact testify that, yes, this man who can now see is our son, and yes, he was born blind. And what I'd like for us to briefly focus in on this morning are two things. First, the origin and purpose of the man's blindness, and secondly, the response of the religious leaders to his healing. And to jump right into it, the really thought-provoking part of this drama gets kicked into high gear when the disciples ask Jesus this question, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" And what we have to understand here is that this is standard Old Testament thinking, because the law of Moses revealed a jealous God who would punish children for the iniquity of their parents up to the third and fourth generations. It's right there in the Ten Commandments. Number 2, concerning idols, you shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation. But Jesus says, no, it's not the sins of the fathers that caused this man's blindness, nor was he born blind because of his own sin. He was born blind that the works of God might be displayed in him. And it's really, really important that you and I get this part of the lesson, because you and I are the blind man. We all have handicaps, some more visible than others, but they're there. Handicaps that may have caused us to become insecure or envious, shortcomings in our attitude, like pride or self-righteousness, bitterness or self-centeredness. You fill in the blank. What are the areas in your life that others might point toward as handicaps or shortcomings? Because paradoxically, it is in those areas of our lives that the works of God can be displayed in us, because God's power is made perfect in weakness. We have his word for it. Like Paul said to the church in Corinth, has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? Consider from our Old Testament lesson today, ruddy little David. Nobody saw that coming, right? And to very quickly just put that Old Testament lesson into context, previously Israel had been a confederation of 12 tribes, but the people insisted on having a king like the other nations. So Saul was chosen as Israel's first king. But after Saul fell out of favor with God, the Lord said to Samuel, this is where our lesson begins today. How long will you grieve over Saul? Go to Jesse in Bethlehem, for I have provided a king among his sons. So Samuel went. And when he met Jesse's sons, he looked on Eliab and thought, surely this is the one. Eliab, you the man. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look on the appearance or on the height of his stature, for the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. The proverbial don't judge a book by its cover. So then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And Samuel said, neither has the Lord chosen this one. Next was Shema. But again he said, neither has the Lord chosen this one. One after another, Jesse had seven of his sons pass before Samuel. But Samuel said that none of them were the chosen one. So then Samuel asked Jesse, are all of your sons here? He replied, well, there remains yet the youngest, but behold, he is keeping the sheep. So Jesse sent for him, David. And when he was brought before Samuel, Samuel said, this is the one, anoint him. Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, for the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. Back to the blind man. I wonder what the world might look like if everyone considered their personal handicaps and shortcomings of any kind. Again, you fill in the blank, because we all have them. What might the world look like if everyone considered their personal handicaps and shortcomings as opportunities for the works of God to be displayed in them? Like a person who, because of a car accident, is suddenly paraplegic, who then devotes their entire life starting up programs and caring for others with the same condition, empowered by empathy. For example, there was a lady in another church where I served whose husband was struggling with Alzheimer's toward the end of his life. This actually created a terrible spiritual storm, somewhat, honestly, of a crisis of faith in the life of this very devout parishioner. Well, after he died, opportunities started coming her way for her to visit with others struggling with the same thing. And although she hesitated at first, she finally just gave herself to it. And one day, she came to see me, and when she was leaving, she handed me a very simple-looking calling card. It had her name and phone number underneath the words, Alzheimer's Support. She said, "Tom, God took the worst thing that has ever happened to me and made it my greatest blessing." Now that's a good window into Christian discipleship, isn't it? The works of God being displayed through our weaknesses? And isn't that a profound witness in a world full of self-absorbed and entitled victims? So we have much to learn from the blind man. That's the first point. The blind man teaches us that our handicaps and personal shortcomings are actually opportunities for the works of God to be displayed in us. And then there are the Pharisees, who interestingly enough teach us about spiritual blindness. I mean, who but Jesus could teach like this? Restoring sight to a man born physically blind, only to upset those with 20/20 vision who are spiritually blind? The Pharisees, no less. Now, how is it, you may be asking, that the Pharisees are spiritually blind? Aren't they the religious and moral and spiritual leaders? How can they be spiritually blind? Well, think about it. Is it possible to be very religious and still be missing the whole point? Is it possible to attend church every Sunday and remain blind to the truth that you are a sinner in need of a Savior, that Jesus came to redeem and restore your life, to be such a blessing to you that you in turn might become a blessing to others? Is it possible to be very religious yet remain blind to the powerful things that God is doing in your midst, blind to the gentle spirit of a child, or deaf to the helpful feedback from a colleague or friend? Dear friends, the good news of Jesus Christ is that God offers to forgive us of our sins and open our spiritual eyes to see everything in a brand new light. We are less the victim and more the wounded healer, less self-absorbed and more concerned about others, and we can see the wonderful things that God is doing in our midst. I conclude. From the blind man, we learn not to doubt or curse God because of the things in our lives that may appear to be personal handicaps or shortcomings or challenges of any kind, because they are actually opportunities for his works to be displayed in us. And from the Pharisees, we learn that spiritual sight comes not from following religious rules, but from knowing personally the author of our salvation, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. If you live in Birmingham or find yourself visiting, we hope you'll join us for one of our Sunday services. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.